Hello, can everybody hear me? Hi, Catherine. Sorry about that. Sure. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for coming today. As you can see down in the front here, we have a little microphone, and this will cue everyone who has a question. If you have a question, just hit the microphone, and then we'll see the names of everyone right above the microphone, and you'll know who's next in line. We ask that if you're going to type your question, to please have it prepared, if you could type it in a note card beforehand. And then when it's your turn in the queue, paste in your question, and Catherine will read the question, and then Jack can answer it for us. And if you need directions also, you can hit how to use the mic. That little cube there in the front will also give you the same directions. And once you've finished with your question, if you could please type the word done, then it'll move to the next person in the queue. So it's 9 o'clock right now. I think we can get started. Catherine, would you like to start? And then we'll open the questions and we can start the queue.
Sure. So everybody, thank you for coming. Really appreciate it. I'd like to introduce you to Jack Linden. He's the Director of Customer Relations, and he's going to talk today about the Public Works project that we're about to undertake. As usual, we're going to take questions about the Public Works project, and we won't be talking about other stuff. Jack is going to take probably about 10 or 15 minutes to talk and give you guys some details and some exciting exclusive information, and then we'll take your questions. And all you need to do is click on the microphone to get in line. Thanks.
So hi, folks. Hopefully you can all hear me okay. I'll give you some chance to turn me up. I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole project, and then going to go into some detail about the sort of things we're going to be working on. We'll also get on to subjects around how residents can communicate with the DPW project, how we're going to be transparent, and other issues that come up. So the objectives of the new Public Works project are really around improving the mainland experience for all residents that either visit the mainland or are living there. So we used to build content back in the day, and we built some quite exciting things in the time. But over time, resources got tight, and we stopped making content. We want to get that going again. We want to use the community to do it. We want the ideas and the energy to come from the community. And we hope this is going to be quite an exciting project for everyone to see how much we can change things on the mainland. We believe quite strongly that the Linden Estate, the mainland, is actually the best showcase for Second Life as a platform. I think we forget that sometimes, and we need to get that back into our heads and make sure that we're showing off what we can do as best we can. This idea came up probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And we looked at the legal aspects of how we could take residents' content and have them working for us to make that content, but such that it's ours, so that we could include it in the library, for example, or give it out for free, or whatever we wanted to do. We went through a few loops, jumped over some fences, and I think we're at a point now where everything legally is in place. We have an agreement that the builders will sign. But we initially approached a number of builders that either we'd worked with before or who were referred to us by people we'd worked with before, really just because we wanted to have a word with some experienced builders who are used to doing big projects. We wanted to understand the best practice in terms of using group builds, because ultimately we're going to have to own the content to nail it down. So that was really useful. Some of those builders are going to continue with us and actually be part of the first team. That's quite a good thing, because the first project, as I'll come to, is a big and complicated one. The majority of the builders, I suspect, will be brought in through the application process, which I've blogged about, and I'll talk a bit about that as well. So The first team will be a team of 10. They will be paid. We're going to pay them at a rate of $10 an hour. And we're going to expect a commitment from them of at least 15 hours per week. Okay. The reason for wanting that sort of commitment is that we want the first few projects to be ones that will make a real impact. And we didn't really want people who can only do 1 or 2 hours. We need people who can really give us some time early on. Those sort of restrictions will probably relax later on as we get into parkland and other things we want to do. But initially, we needed people who were able to give us a fair amount of time. We are going to be, asking those people to sign contracts. They're fairly simple agreements. They just make sure that legally the content is ours so that we can use it however we wish. And our hope is that some of the best content ends up in the library for all residents. You'll see the images behind me. I'll talk a bit about those in a second, but you'll notice the mole avatars featured on those boards. To have a bit of fun with this, the builders will all be given a mole account with the surname mole. And the first name will be an adjective, and they can be, you know, whatever kind of mole they want, fat mole, blue mole, whatever it happens to be. Because we want to separate what they're doing for us with what they do on their normal accounts. However, we do want to be transparent about what we're doing, so we will make it very clear on a public wiki page all the builders that are involved with us, all the ones that are building the teams, because we think it's very important that everyone knows who everyone is, so that'll be fine. We will let people build. When the builds are completed, we will God take them, so we'll force ownership of those builds. Then we'll nail them down so they can't be deleted. So just like normal Linden content. The rest of the builders we take on, there may well be a subsequent team 2, team 3, and so on as we go forward, will all be taken from the application process that's been blogged about that uses the support portal. We've had to date around 230 applicants who've applied to be a part of DPW. Which is fantastic. Looking through them, it's really a who's who of people I know of who are good builders, so it's really encouraging the quality of people who have applied. But you know, we want to make sure that as many of those people as possible have a way of contributing, so we'll be doing our best to make sure everyone gets involved. The mole thing is really an actual in-joke. It's to do with when the first city sims, Barcola and Grignano, appeared. Some graffiti appeared by the Grignano telehub that was, it just simply said, beware the mole people. And almost immediately that appeared, a little community of mole people did spring up, residents who dressed themselves as moles. So we've kind of continued that theme on, and we're using moles as the building avatar. The first project, as I said, is going to be to expand the city regions. You see the board behind me. Hopefully it's clear for you all. But the Barcola has already a road that ends abruptly. So that's going to continue as a bridge, go across an area of water with a bit of an island on it. That'll be parkland, over to four regions of new city sims, if you like. They will be in a sort of Chicago 50s, slightly deco theme. We wanted something that was a little different, but also familiar enough to not be too strange. It'll be double-primed as we've had in the past for city sims. So that means that probably about 55-60% of those regions will be Linden-owned land to counterbalance the fact that the parcels that residents own are double-primed. All those parcels will be auctioned off. I think most of them are actually 1024. They're reasonably small. There'll be roads and there'll be flyovers, and there'll probably be some sort of public transport loop that goes around the four. We haven't quite decided as yet. What else can I tell you about that? The the textures that we use for the roads and for the buildings that we'll be putting on there, we'll provide to all the people that buy land in the area, so that hopefully people are encouraged to build in theme. Obviously, they don't have to, but it'd be fun if they did. This will be the main focus of the first team. We don't know how long it'll take to build this out. We're hoping it'll be reasonably quick. We'll also try and provide a couple of prefabs of sort of standard Chicago-style apartment or office buildings, so that people who are not good builders can come in, pick up one of the prefabs, and be in theme if they want to be. The second thing we'll move on to doing, and it's actually already started this, is repairing the Korean region's coastline. I don't know if any of you folk have ever been down there, but the diagram on the lower left of the board, that middle section in yellow was never properly completed. The terrain, as we designed it, obviously a huge graphics file that we then split up into many, many terrain files, somehow those middle ones got lost. So we have very abrupt land edge right the way along that strip. But because people have a sea view currently, we're going to treat all of that as Linden land. We're going to put voids right the way through that yellow section, take the land down to the water, add trees, parkland, but it won't be resident-owned land. It'll be a fairly large and long natural space along the coastlines. So that's also being done. That's started already. And the other stuff we want to do, if you look at the diagram bottom right in that square that's labeled 5, the terrain around Luna has always been incomplete. The coastline comes down through Grignano, kind of stops. There's a big nothingness, and then Luna starts. So we want to fix that. We're not entirely sure what the land will be, whether we'll sell it off or whether it'll be public space, but we want to make sure that it makes some sense from a geography point of view. And that continues, obviously, around Luna, around to the south of Luna, which also needs to be fixed. I think they're the main three things we're starting with. And then we will also move on to look at the issue of roads. I know it's a very popular one. Bridges, public spaces. We're thinking about what transport systems we can use, because Havoc 4 makes them a lot more reliable than they used to be. We've had trolley systems and trains in the past, but they tend to get stuck every now and then, which which isn't great. I think that's about it for what we're going to be working on. The going forward, the way we're going to keep people up to date on what's going on, there'll be an in-world group, which will be for information only. The builders themselves will have their own group, of course, to help them work. They will also have some sort of wiki in which they can throw ideas around and discuss what they're doing. We will blog probably weekly, probably on Fridays, giving people an idea of all the things that have been achieved in the previous week and what we're planning to do for the next week. We're pretty keen to keep momentum high on this, because I think that if people don't see any progress, it's going to not work. We want excitement to stay high. We want lots of ideas coming in, so we want to keep it going at a fair rate. So we're blogging every single week. We will be being very transparent on the wiki. The knowledge base will have articles explaining how to apply and how to be a part of DPW and what that means. So hoping all of these things together will make sure that everyone gets involved and keeps up to date on what's going on. And finally, we'll be opening up a lot of the old abandoned land. We get a huge amount of abandoned land comes through, especially on the older mainland regions. That abandoned land, we normally sort of recycle it and auction it off. We will be picking up some of the nicest parcels and using them for public space and for other interesting things that we feel like we want to put in. We want as many of those ideas to come from the residents as we can, so we're going to provide another ticketed route through the support portal as usual, whereby we'll throw up a particular plot of land, give it a project number, and then people can go in and give out ideas for that specific plot of land. And then either we'll take the best five, or we'll have residents voting on a poll or something to allow people to choose which one they want to get built, and then we'll have the teams building that content out to make it as democratic as we possibly can. I think that's about it for what I had to talk about. So we can probably move to questions now.
Great. Thanks. So, Proc, I see you're first in line. Would you like to either speak or type your question in?
Hi, I'm going to see if voice is working better today.
It's working.
Yeah. Jack, you must have used the word transparency about 12 times, and I'm going to have to probe you on that, because it's transparency after the fact and not during the decision-making process and not with the internal group. So there's two pieces of this. One is, why double prim city sims when the telehubs in those sims have the least, or not, I'm sorry, info hubs have the least traffic of any of the areas, even deliberately getting newbie streams. There's, you know, only a very niche group of builders that are your friends, like Lord Fly or Barnesworth, who care about these sims. I mean, there's some attention on the blogs, but the much greater voice of the public that you hear on your forums is for service, not showcase, to have roads put in on hundreds of sims, to have Lindenland have the auto return put to zero, and so on. The other, just to finish, you know, one other aspect of this transparency stuff and your claim that there's going to be resident proposals, I can see that you're already picking up this choice bit of land, and those of us who are on those sims have had no say in it. For example, in Duck, we were all griefed by an extortionist there who held that land for a year and then suddenly abandoned, you know, a quarter of a sim. You picked it up and named it something, and it's going to be a choice bit of real estate that, you know, maybe other people on that sim would have liked to have had say in suddenly, that now they're going to have a Linden bill next, you know, spring up next to them. So I'm just wondering, you know, it seems like a fait accompli where you've chosen your friends, you've made the projects that you think are important, and we don't see the value for, you know, the rest of the mainland sims where your projects won't be, but there will be Lindenland. I mean, Governor Lindenland.
Okay. So, I mean, I can't talk specifically about Duck because I'm not entirely sure what's happened with the land there, but I'm happy to look into it. I think that the transparency, and I do mention it a lot because I think it is important. The initial conversations that we had with those builders, and they're certainly not friends. I mean, I know two of them. We approached about 20 people originally, as much as anything, to find out if they thought this was something that was viable, what their experiences had been building very large projects. Bear in mind that Linden Lab hasn't done large-scale content for quite a while, and the people that did do that large-scale content have largely gone. They're not with the company anymore. So we really wanted to get a feel from people who had done this commercially, you know, the sort of time that would take to do these sort of things, the sort of issues we'd run into. So it made sense to get advice from residents that we knew had experience. Of those 20, I think to date, as of today, 4 of them are involved in the first team. And, you know, I'm delighted that they are, but this isn't a boys' club. I mean, this is a decision we took because we wanted to get information, and it made sense at the time. Also, I think it is important because the reason for doing the city expansion is we actually get quite a bit of feedback about the city regions. In support, we have a lot of requests from people who want to own land like that, who want the infrastructure that the city regions have. It's been very popular. The land prices remain high there, which shows a great deal of demand. So it's a big project where we can learn, we can work out how this is going to operate, and it makes sense. Oh, okay, it's not a boys' club I'm a part of anyway. But the city regions will be very popular. We'll expand them to the west. But it's a great learning exercise for us. Yeah, and we're not going to take away the water. We're not going to suddenly put land against land. As the diagram sort of explains, around the city regions, it's all water, and there'll be plenty of water involved in the new ones. Transparency, we will be making it very clear who we're working with, and we will make it as available and open to as many people as we possibly can. In terms of the land and the abandoned land, Proc, we get a lot of these coming up, and there are going to be some where it doesn't make sense for us to use it for Linden land because the people around it are so close to it and they want to buy it at auction or whatever it happens to be. So we're going to have to be very careful about which land we use. But quite often the land that comes up doesn't have people around it, is either against a region edge or is in a corner or is surrounded by Linden land already because of all the canals and so on. So our hope is that we can use some of that land for good community uses, and the residents can choose what they want to do with it. Okay, so who's next?
Okay, Eric Reuters.
Hey, I hope voice is working.
Working.
Great. I just have one question in I guess three parts. You mentioned earlier that you're going to be hiring builders at a rate of about $10 an hour American. I'm just wondering, how many builders are you hiring? How are these builders getting paid? Are they being paid in dollars? Are they being paid 2,700 lindens an hour? Are you going to credit them with lindens from supplies, mail them checks? And then I guess the third part of this question is, by Second Life standards, 2,700 lindens or $10 an hour is actually a fairly attractive wage. So I'm sure you're going to be deluged with requests to join LDPW. And how are you going to evaluate who will join the team?
Great questions. For the first one, say initial team of 10, there'll almost certainly be a second team of 10. A lot of it will come down to how successful we are. I would love to see subsequent teams until people stop me spending any more money, basically. But certainly several teams, maybe three or four teams, is the ultimate aim. So that's a lot of building resource for people who are going to give us quite a lot of hours per week. We will be paying them by sending them a check at the month end, US dollars. So it won't be Linden dollars. We looked at doing that, but it didn't seem such a good idea. So we're going to pay in US dollars with a check each month. And what was the last question again? How will we evaluate
the last
people?
Question, what exactly?
Yeah. So, I mean, looking through the people who have applied so far, There is a real mix of ability and experience. But, I don't think we can be testing people. I don't think we can be, judging everybody's builds because it's kind of subjective. So I think the hope is that we look for people who have the time, who have the energy, who have some building experience, the tasks at hand. So it may be that one team is more suited towards parkland or open space. Another one is perhaps more suited towards road building. I'm not sure. I mean, we'll just have to see how we go. But we don't really want to get down to, trying to cherry pick specific people too much. I think we want to make it as inclusive as we possibly can.
Okay, Temporal Mitra.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about the concept of paying by the hour for what is basically an art. Literally, it took Leonardo years to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. So building is not, a production line kind of thing. Wouldn't it make better sense to pay by the project rather than by the hour for something like that?
That's a really good question. I think that it is difficult, and I think it's difficult from several angles. Obviously, some of the things that people will do as part of the work they do will be texturing, which will be outside of the in-world experience, as it were. And I do think that there are several Lindens who are involved in this project. There's myself, and there's Blue Linden, and there's Michael Linden. All three of us are pretty experienced in terms of content. My feeling is that we will have a pretty good idea of how productive people are being and how many hours they're giving us by how much they get done. And we aren't going to be, you know, too hard-nosed about this. We're aware that good quality work can take time. Doing it by project is actually something we may do down the line. I'm not sure. There may be things that are so neat and encapsulated that we have a good chance to simply price them as something that people can do. But right now, we're just going to work on an hourly rate because it keeps everything simple from our point of view. It makes it easy for the residents to commit to an amount of hours, and you know, we will see how much progress they make over time. So, yeah, I mean, it's not that we won't do piecemeal payments, but initially we'll work to an hourly rate because we think we can make that work.
Are there any other questions? Nobody else is in line? I can't believe that. There we go. Okay, Keystone.
Hi. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay, yep. Cool. Well, I just had a question about the idea of kind of democratizing the process of developing public land. I thought I'd just mention the Wikitecture project, which is essentially just a 3D wiki that we've been developing that's an in-world interface that's specifically for this purpose. We've been focusing more on real-life projects, but it allows members of a community to have a voice in the creation of their public environment, and they can vote on the designs that they dislike or like, and they can submit their own ideas. So I just thought I'd mention, I don't know if it's feasible for this specific project, but I thought I'd offer it as a possibility nonetheless.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. So, I mean, perhaps you can send me some details, and I'd love to have a look at that.
Sure, will do.
Thank you.
Brock?
Yes. Again, to speak to the democratization issue, the land in Duck was seized probably 3 months ago or more, and I see other items that were chosen. So that suggests that there was a concept and projects already sort of full-blown in your mind before you even started talking to builders. So where is the element of resident input? Because one of the key responses to this whole idea has been concern about the Your World, Your Imagination slogan, and whether this kind of project erodes it by introducing Linden supervised and Linden. It's not clear where our world part of it is.
So what has happened to the land in Duck?
Sorry, I couldn't hear.
Well, I'm not sure what's happened to the land that you're referring to, but this is land that was abandoned and has become government Linden
owned. What I'm saying is you've gone around and taken some land that you obviously earmarked for this project with ideas, you know. They even have titles, so it seems. And what I don't hear you saying today is what, you know, details about how these projects are being decided. I mean, is an ice cream stand going to spring full blown up in a snow sim? Is there going to be tropical jet skiing in Korea or what? You know, what are these projects? What are they going to look like? Who's going to decide what the content, the look of them will be?
Well, I mean, I can assure you, I mean, the only person that would be doing any putting aside of land would be myself, and so we haven't. I'm not sure what's happened to the land you're talking about, but we certainly have earmarked no parcels to date for this particular project. We just haven't because we haven't had clear plans or teams in place. There'd be no point. The decisions about what we do with those lands, particularly the ones that are in amongst resident land, really should be coming from the residents. So we are pretty committed to finding ways that the residents can come up with ideas, that they can be somehow voted on, and that a decision in the end is not one that Linden Lab is taking. Because you're right, if we were to come along and dictate what was built everywhere, that would be somewhat pointless. The idea here
is to dictate the first few three.
Yeah, these are ones that we, these are ones that we wanted to get done because they're significant.
What are you going to put it on the Jira, Jack?
Jira is, yeah, we could wrestle with Jira and use Jira for this. We may use the support portal for quite a bit of the ideas and suggestions capturing, just because it's a nice interface for people to choose a project, and we can control the flow very easily. You know, the first three, the city expansion is something that, say, has a fair amount of demand for it. The fixing of the coastlines, the two areas of coastline, are really things we just had to fix. They're broken right now, and they needed fixing. So it's not so much that we are choosing what to build there. Those are things that just needed to be done because they just look silly. And there are a few other areas of coastline that are similar that we'll probably attend to. In actual fact, the Korean southern continent coastline is actually not being done by the DPW team themselves, because obviously they can't easily do that. That terrain work is being done by Michael Linden currently. But it's all part of the same project to improve the mainland. So really the only one we've really chosen is to do the city expansions as a first run to see how it works, to understand how a big project like this can operate.
What about the roads in the average sim that are missing in most of the new ones post, 2005?
Yeah, roads is a really big question. I mean, roads, they seem incredibly popular, which is great. We certainly could and probably will address some of the road issues, the longer ones particularly, where we have highways that are running for many, many regions that have just nothing but space currently. We recently had a go at trying to put some road in an area on the southern Korean continent again, and what was interesting is we had quite a few complaints from the residents when we tried to do that. People who had lived alongside the strip of Gap who decided they didn't like the idea of a road there after all. And that makes it difficult for us. So we need to think that through a little bit, because some of these people have lived alongside that gap for quite a long time. And for us to suddenly drive a highway through it is a difficult one. But yeah, there's absolutely no doubt we can address the road issue as part of this.
Okay, Tim Poral, do you have another question?
Yes, I do, and it has to do with roads, as a matter of fact. Since there's so much difficulty flying across a SIM border or getting a vehicle across a SIM border, what's the actual purpose of having roads at this point? I mean, until that issue is addressed, having roads that are, for the most part, unusable, I would think would not be a priority.
I think that the thing that roads do, and it's always been the case, is that they kind of give people something to glue themselves to when they're building and when they're setting up their homes or their businesses. You're right, it can be problematic going across region boundaries. Havoc 4, I don't know if you've tried it yet, but Havoc 4 does improve that. And certainly we expect that to get better and better over time. Once Havoc 4 is in, it gives us a hugely better physics platform which to then build. But yeah, I mean, the roads have proven popular, I think, because people like to associate themselves with geography that makes sense, and they like the idea of being on a road, facing a road, you know, with driveways and all that sort of thing. It gives people a glue with which to join themselves to the world. That's certainly been the case in the city regions. It's definitely the case on the old mainland and the snow regions and stuff where we have these sweeping roads. So, yeah, you're right to a point. They can be awkward at times to actually use as a road, but they have other benefits, I think.
Okay, Eric?
Yeah, hi, Jack. Just to sort of step back for a second, I mean, a lot of the talk about roads that the last two questions have been on, I think, are great for your committed Second Life users, people who have been here, who are landowners, who run a lot. But what I'm wondering is LDPW going to be focused at all on projects aimed more towards the new user, improving the Orientation Island experience? Is Linden Lab content, for instance, that might be able to take a look at, or further tying the Orientation Island into some of this new exciting content that's being built? Do you see LDPW as something that you are tying into the initiative to retain new users? Or, I mean, because from what I've been hearing so far, it seems more in terms of projects to add value to your already committed users. And I'm just a little unclear on whether there will be any work on the Orientation Islands and how the LDPW work will relate to the new user experience.
Okay, so the first thing to say is that the OI designs, the OI experience, is something that's being worked on within the lab anyway. We have an active team now, several people working pretty much full-time on understanding the OI and redesigning that experience. So that side is going to get addressed anyway, because the OI situation right now, there are some things that are good about it, some things that are not so good, and we're very aware of that. So the OIs will be addressed anyway. Where I think the DPW comes in is that there are those places that people end up on the mainland after having gone through the orientation experience. We have a real variety of sort of hub areas that people get dropped into. Some of them are really effective. Places like Violet and some of the other ones on the mainland have proven very good. They have little communities of people that have grown up around them, and they've worked very well. Some of them have not been so successful. So it's been very varied. I think we do need to understand what makes a good first experience. And I have no doubt that DPW will take a hand in that, because there will be areas where it might make sense that DPW improves an area with a view to dropping new residents into it. We just have to see how it goes. But yeah, the OI experience will be redeveloped anyway.
Any other questions? Well, for Kofi?
Yes? Well, if nobody else wanted another turn.
Sure, go for it.
You mentioned the springing up of little communities, which I think you mean the ones that are more sort of the caretakers and providing the content and so on. But the other problem, the info hubs and the welcome areas and the orientation public and all of that all suffer from griefing and from really organized kind of hangout groups that heckle newbies, and you know, a lot of them just kind of fly under the radar, but some of them will hog all the sim resources by packing 40 people onto the sim, you know, sort of flash mobbing, you know all this kind of stuff. Is there any plan to address that kind of you know, broken windows policing problem, squeegee men policing problem? I know Blue Linden has talked about how if you have lots more of those areas, that will dilute the problem. But we've found that these groups suffer from agoraphobia. They don't want to ever leave the info hub that they're in. So
<that's> yeah, I mean, there are some groups that definitely are attached to the hub they spend their time at. I think that, I mean, one of the attractions for groups doing that is, of course, the constant flow of new residents coming in. So I think, you know, what Blue's suggesting is that by greatly diluting where people land, some of that appeal goes away. You know, there are two sides to this. There are communities that are built up around the actual design of the hub, and, you know, when I think it was Tawley who originally was involved in doing that. So there's some quite inventive hub areas, but also there are groups who've come in through a particular hub who's still friends and still have a community based around that. And there's quite a few of those if you travel around the hubs, people who are acting almost as unofficial mentors to people that are landing at those particular areas. And that's fantastic. So, yeah, we want to do what we can to improve all that, but we don't want to particularly leave it open to griefing either. So we have a sort of side project going on, which is about auditing all the Linden land and making sure that the land settings are suitable. We have a lot of Linden land, as you know, and a great deal of it hasn't had its settings correct for quite some time, which means we get litter and means people can put replicating objects in and so on. So that's also going on in tandem with this, because we really want to do that from a database point of view and trying to understand how we can fix that rather than flying around all of them and doing it by hand, as much fun as that would be. But yeah, fixing that is definitely a big part of what we want to do.
Thanks. Ariana? Okay, Ariana's question is, when will the announcement be made about the builders?
For the first team, we would really like them to have started building within the next week or so. We have begun looking through the applications, and we'll probably start to actually reply to people through that process. So yeah, that first team of 10, we want to be in a position to be meeting with us and getting going in about a week or so's time, all being well. The second team, probably a couple of weeks after that, I expect. We'll just sort of see how we go, but, you know, as soon as we possibly can, really.
Does anybody have any other questions? For Kofi. Okay. Yes?
Well, if nobody else has questions, you know, I can be counted on to come up with them. There's been some concern expressed about this whole, I forget how it's called exactly, the certification club or the, you know, the SL certification, that there'd be a process where certain skills that you need to monkey with the tools in Second Life will be certifiable or certified by some process. And there's concern that these builders will, in a sense, be the first representation of that. So I wonder about certification. And I also wonder what the goal of this process is in your mind, you know, what the mission is. Is it ultimately to sort of create a metaversal services agency out of those builders when you're outsourced or when you're open sourced?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. Certification, we have no intention to make this part of any other program in any official way. I think that there's an inevitable attraction for people to be involved with DPW because we are going to be transparent and their names will be known to be associated with the project. I'm not sure there's anything we would want to do to mitigate that. It's, you know, it's one of those things that happens. But there's no official certification attached to this in any way. We have no plans to do that. I think certifying for content ability is really difficult anyway because it's so subjective. I don't know how you really certify that. But in terms of your second point, the teams we build are no part of any grand plan in terms of a content agency of any sort. I mean, the real aim here is to fundamentally make the mainland a better place. I can't really say it any more simply than that. You know, we have had a huge period of growth that has been extremely rapid, as you know. and we were putting up mainland at an incredible rate for a while. And we now need to take stock. We need to take the time to get that mainland looking good, get interesting and hopefully interactive things on that space so that people can enjoy it, and really do all we can to improve it. And it's really just as simple as that, by having the mainland become the showcase that it needs to be.
How do you think this will impact the land market? Because traditionally in real estate terms, or let's say virtual estate terms, anything that's Linden protected or next to a Linden build or has open Linden C is automatically much higher in value. So do you anticipate this causing a higher cost for mainland?
I think it might make the land market a little bit more dynamic, simply because there will be more areas like that. So we may see some more higher value areas come up around things that we do. But as we keep going and keep adding those areas, there'll be ever increasing opportunities for people to buy into very nice spaces. We have, saying that Korean area with the 30 or so regions of what will be open space effectively, that's a lot of land alongside that, all of which, will necessarily become more attractive because it has guaranteed protected land alongside it. So, yeah, it's going to, I hope, make the land market more dynamic and offer some more interesting options for people.
Any other questions? Eric?
Hey, Jack. If I could just ask the logical follow-up, I guess, to what you just said, where land value might go up in the areas adjacent to where the LDPW is going to be making beautification improvements, then do you decide where to deploy your LDPW teams? Because as you know, as you're very closely involved with, there is a very, active virtual real estate community that looks very carefully at land prices and a lot of people who have all their real life income coming out of that. And if, you're sending in the LDPW to make improvements, then certainly I think the question of where those improvements are made and which adjacent land will go up becomes something a lot of people are going to be very focused on. So I guess my question is, given that the LDPW's work is going to be raising the value of some land, how do you decide where they'll be and sort of all the competing real estate and financial interests that sort of come with that can of worms?
Yeah. I remember when I used to do a lot of the land work myself, being followed by 20 or 30 land dealers in a little pack wherever I went, waiting for me to do something with a land parcel. So I'm very aware of the sensitivities around how what we do can affect the prices of land. I think this talks a little bit to the point we made earlier, that there are some parcels that come up, usually through an abandoned route, where we are going to have to be very sensitive to what we do with them, because they have a large amount of resident owned land around them, for example, which yes, if we start working on those regions, it may be great, but it may also be somewhat unfair, because some of those residents are going to suddenly get very expensive land. At the same time, we want this to be fairly all-encompassing, so I don't think there's anything we don't want to try and tackle. It's just going to be a natural result of this. I think that some areas are going to be beautified, others are not yet, but hopefully all areas that make sense for us to get involved with in time we'll get to. So we'll be sensitive to it, but we are going to have to start somewhere, and that'll be something that the land dealers will take a lot of notice of, I'm sure. And for those residents living alongside, hopefully it's a positive thing for them.
Thanks. Does anyone else have a question? Okay, well, we can end early then, if you'd like. Don't forget that you can always send press briefing topics to presscontact@lindenlab.com, and we'll see what we can do. Thank you so much, Jack, for spending that time with us. And thank you, everybody, for coming to the briefing. Are you guys finding these helpful? Okay, good. I mean, because we, you know, our goal here is to make sure that you guys are getting, you know, as much information as possible about, you know, about what we're doing and having ample opportunity to ask lots of questions. So we're working on it, Prokofi, one event at a time. And the press briefings, we kind of want to get those down and, you know, make sure that you guys are getting the info and then, you know, spreading it out. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Jack. You did a great job.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
I think that the transcript is going to be ready by the beginning of next week. So we are recording it now, and Melissa, I guess we'll alert you guys at that point, and we'll be able to send it out. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for participating. I really appreciate it. Tataru, new questions from you.